Praise the Lord, everybody. Feels good. Feels God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I won't take a lot of time. Let's turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Amen. Great to be in Birmingham. Great to be blessed. And great to be ready for the coming of the Lord. Mark chapter 4. Verse number 35. That's 1 Corinthians 15. Just checking. And the same day when the even was come, he said unto them, let us pass over. Well, that's pretty good. Let us pass over unto the other side. Everybody say the other side. See, the doctors may be saying one thing, but what is the other side of the story? Your adversary may be triggering your reasoning as to why you should continue to analyze what you're afraid to do. But there's the other side of faith. Victorious, triumphant faith that takes a step when everybody else is frozen still. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's talk about the other side for a while tonight. Lift your hands to the Lord. Let's pray. God's anointing will continue to break every yoke. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of Jesus. I'm glad I'm born again. I'm glad Jesus is coming again. I'm glad I made the right choice. I'm glad that when I lift my hands and magnify Him, problems, troubles, trials, bad feelings, anger, bitterness, compromise, degradation, defilement, all of those things are minimized, magnifying Him. And you've been doing that for about an hour. Praise God. Praise God. Lift your hands one more time and ask God to help you to be sensitive to others' needs around you tonight. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the blood of the Lamb that cleanses, the power of forgiveness and the Holy Ghost fire. Purge us tonight in the name of the Lord, in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Clap your hands one more time. And you may be seated. Now, I can imagine Jesus having taught the crowds that were gathered together for quite some time. He's beginning to get tired. The sun is sliding down the horizon. The grip of night is coming. And he disperses the crowd with whatever his last parable was stated, or talk of love or mercy or whatever. And they're gone. They begin to meander back through the woods, back to their respective places. And then he just turns. Maybe he yawns. And he tells his disciples, let's pass to the other side. All right. No hesitation. Hey. No. It wasn't necessarily a suggestion, just a simple command. So the disciples, they gather their gear and they get onto the boat, taking thankful glances at the stars that flicker like candles in the night sky, and they proceed to row to the other side. Now, Jesus, being tired, everybody stretch. So this is interactive. Stretch. That was real. You can only do that if you was on a plane today. But, and tells him, look, I'm going to go lay down for a while. I'm tired. I'm going to take a little nap. So he finds a soft sack in the stern of the ship and lays his head down. And I think he started snoring. I do. It was probably one of them pig snores. I know that messes with some folks' theological stance on the divine nature. But he was a man, and he was tired. And men aren't the only one that snore when you get tired. I can imagine him. Maybe he was like, that's, or he could have had one of them horse snores going. That's one of them. I was on a plane not too long ago, and this guy come on. He had his nice leather skin briefcase, and he was dressed so debonair. Looked like he's probably a multi-million-dollar CEO of some big corporation in New York City. And he sat down, and he was in first business class, and he was all nice and tidied, and everything was in place. And then that tag kind of did like this, and he drooped his head back over the seat. And I'm telling you, he was the entertainment on the flight for the next 2 hours. it was one of them. We thought the plane was crashing a couple of times. It wasn't turbulence. It was him snoring. And I think that was probably like Jesus. He was tired. Turn to your neighbor and say, he was tired. It could be that what took place next was an external exhibition of his dreams. Maybe he wrestled secretly with the funnel of suffering he was about to endure. Who knows? Meanwhile, but I say meanwhile, at the front of the boat, leaning on the rail, were the disciples, 12 men together. No doubt they had quite a few debates, heated discussions. This is what Jesus meant. No, it's not. Yes, it is. No, it's not. You get 12 men together, you know, on a 3.5-year crusade with Jesus. They probably had their moments when they didn't get along. I can just imagine, and Peter, you know, being the tempestuous one, always impulsive in his speech, sticking that big burly chest out and saying, well, I tell you what I think Jesus meant by the lost coin. We need to get some money in this thing. I imagine that John the Beloved was like a proper Englishman. He probably said, now, Peter, you know that's not what Jesus meant. What he meant by the lost coin was that we need to be mindful of the lost. Oh, okay. And then maybe there was Thomas, you know. Thomas, the reasonable one. Thomas, the doubter. Thomas, the analytical one. I can imagine him having one of those nasally monotone voices. Well, I tell you what I think. The lost coin is something that you'll never be able to discern theologically, ecclesiastically in this lifetime. It'd be better to just, you know, walk on and forget it. My favorite, I'm not going to go through every disciple. We'll be here all night. But my favorite one, I think, would probably have been Bartholomew. Now, Bartholomew had to be a brother. Come on now, Bartholomew. Yeah. Yeah, Bartholomew Jones. I imagine him having one of them sing-songy voices like, I want you to know right now what I think that a lost coin is. I have a dream that... So they're debating among one another about what Jesus means by certain things. And after a few statements, heated discussion, there was probably silence, and then somebody would make an auspicious comment about the sea or the weather, and that's when it hit. Turn to your neighbor and say, uh-oh. See, it started gathering force in the mountains. The Sea of Galilee sat 600 feet below sea level. I don't know how you get below sea level without drowning, but that's the topographical fact. So these windstorms could gather force without any warning. And so way off in some ravine somewhere, It started gathering momentum. It swept through the gorges and the hidden ravines of the mountains, and it started snapping limbs off of trees and throwing them in a straight line trajectory toward the sea. Some of the trees were bowing, their trunks looking like servants bowing to a master. And then it swept across the seashore, dusting the land of dead fish and seashells. And then it started sweeping across the sea. It headed for the disciples. It hungered for their destruction. Some commentators say that this was the very attempt of the prince of darkness himself to destroy the would-be shakers of the world before they became cognizant of what power they would possess. And some of you are wondering why the storm has been so stressful, why the clouds have been so dark, while the vortexes of the accusation and the enemy's attack has been dipping out of your horizon, cutting swaths of ruin in your faith lately. It's because the devil knows if you get turned on to be the witness you're designed and divinely appointed to be, he's not going to be able to stop you. Huh? He's got to get you while you're in the premature state before you reach and maximize your potential. He's got to get you while you're still awkward in your steps of faith, and it's not quite as simple as it will be one day when you've gone through the trials and you've been through enough storms to shrug them off and say, God's command is greater than the storm's control. Magnify the Lord for a moment in Jesus' name. Now, you can be seated. I don't know which disciple it was, but when that wind started blowing over the sea, the once placid sea was now an aquatic nightmare with giant towering waves, with teeth gleaming like that of a shark ready to slice into the bulwarks of the boat and to slice it into tiny slivers and to leave them drowning in despair. But one of the disciples, when he saw it coming, he screamed out. Now, it wasn't casual. Look, friends, when everything's okay, you can be casual in your Christianity. You can pray the little lay me down to sleep prayers. But when it's a storm, you get serious. When it's your baby laying in the hospital, you get serious. This was a storm. The man was, it wasn't like, oh, it's an F5 tornado. What are we going to do? It's blowing this way. It's like, oh, no, it's a storm. I'm talking about you get those eyes that out of your sockets. This is what happened. He screamed. This was desperation. You can't play games now. You can act like, you know, you're just kind of bebopping along when the sea is placid. But when the waves are bigger than the boat and you don't know what to do about the rolling destruction headed your way and the winds are getting more and more fierce with every second that you try to stay alive and survive and you feel like you're losing a hold of everything, that's when you strip yourself of all of the forms of Christianity and you get back to the simplicity of a child of God reaching out dependently for the divine help of God to say, Lord, if you don't help me, I'm not going to make it. If you don't heal me, I'm not going to make it. If you don't touch my family, they're going to be lost. If you don't give me a breakthrough, I'm going to go broke. You can be seated for a moment. All of a sudden now, waves of death washing over the deck. The sea is boiling. The ship, you can watch it. It's like a seesaw. The heavy stone anchor sliding up and down the seesawing deck. The disciples, some of them getting rope burns in their arms as they try to tie down the cargo. They're doing everything they can, throwing pails of water over the railing. The mast is moaning, threatening to snap like a twig in the hand of a strong man. They know at any moment that the boat is going to capsize. They're going to lose balance. It's all about over. What are we going to do? Where are you going to be when the storm is over? When deception has done its destruction. When the Judases have made their plays in the congregation of the righteous.
So you got to be careful of folks that spend their time gossiping. Because gossip is diametrically opposed to gospel. There is nothing good about gossip. Gossip will take the truth, drag it through the mud, coat it with a layer or two of defilement, even when it would be better to tell the good things, it ends up giving a negative report. It gets cynical. It gets sarcastic. It gets defiant of apostolic leadership. Everything about gossip is bad. But the gospel is good. That's good news. That's why you got to be careful who you keep company with, because if you keep company with a Judas long enough, you're going to end up hanging yourself. Don't hang around with Judas, because that's exactly what you'll do. Sooner or later, he's going to take the rope from around his loins, put a noose up, throw the other end around the tree, pull on it real firm to make sure it holds the weight, put it around his neck and your neck. Boy, I feel the Holy Ghost here. I bumped onto something. Let's lift our hands and talk to him in Jesus' name. So you talk about storms being a precursor to the prophetic move of God. Storms mean there are great oppositions confronting each other. Cold fronts, warm fronts, low pressure systems, high pressure systems, evil, truth, light, darkness, deception, truth, angelic forces of heaven, diabolical plotters of hell, booming, crashing, colliding against one another. Until there's a swirling motion that takes place in the kingdom and spiritual realm of God. Where will you be when the storm is over? I tell you where I'm going to be, on the other side. Do you know why? Because Jesus already said it. I don't care what the devil said. I don't care what the detractors say. I don't care what the atheist said, the earthly philosopher says, the one with the New Age jargon says, which is nothing but an old Babylonian system. I want to go by what Jesus said, and Jesus said, we're going to the other side. That's why if the Lord said your family is going to be saved, give it some time. Stop getting petulant. Stop walking around impatient. Stop speaking negative words. Stop shrugging your shoulders in disbelief when you see somebody else get their blessing before you get yours. Let's love him in Jesus' name. I remember a few years ago preaching in Starks, Louisiana, and the Holy Ghost was moving. I'm telling you, he knows where it's at probably. One caution light town in southwest Louisiana, about 30 miles west of Lake Charles. They come out of the woods by the hundreds to go to church. Amazing revival taking place. My wife was expecting our second child, so she had flown to Denver to get some tests done. And we were living at that time in a 40-foot trailer that we were going to be pulling around the country. We were in revival in this one place for about 5 months. Right in the middle of revival, she flew to Denver. And I remember being across the street from the trailer, underneath the awning, outside of the church. And I watched at about 2 o'clock in the morning, storms. And they were sweeping to the south. And, man, you could look up and you could just see the clouds moving. Winds blowing. Thunder rumbling. And I watched in about a 30-minute period as confrontation had taken place in the heavenlies. And there was a reverse of motion. And it started moving back north. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, you're living in an hour when there's going to be a lot of shifting. And before it's done, some are going to get blown out to the sea of deception, but others are going to stand up and rise against it. And they're going to shift. They're going to stand with intercessory power and authority. They're going to stand in unity under the vision of a shepherd. They're going to go forth in the power of the Holy Ghost. And they're going to make it go the other direction. They're going to reverse the order and the curse of the enemy in Jesus' name.
if you have been in that storm, historians tell us that the disciples were right in the middle of the sea when the storm hit. That's usually where God gets us before the miracle starts happening. He gets us right out there where it's too far to go back and is just as far to keep on going to the other side. But we start getting negative and full of fear. We want to turn around and run back. You need to get a reversal of attitude and say, wait a minute. I have been stagnant in this area of my faith. I have been paused in this area of promise. And I'm getting ready to allow the Holy Ghost to ignite something in me. I know I can't do it in flesh. I know arrogance isn't going to get me by. And I don't have enough confidence in my own fleshly human ability. But I know what God said. He said, we're going to the other side. He said, revival was going to happen. He said, the miracles were going to come. He said, the cancer was going to disappear. He said, the blinded eye was going to open. He said, the heart patient was going to get 100% recovery of his abilities. Come on, let's love him in Jesus' name. Come on, if you've been feeling it blow one direction, say, wait just a minute. I'm getting ready to turn this thing back. I'm getting ready to have a shift in the spirit. I'm not getting pushed back to where I've already come. I'm going forward in the power of the spirit. I'm going to cut through every attempt of the enemy to bring me down. I'm going to break through it by the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to find me a prayer partner. I'm not going to sit over in a corner sucking my thumb in self-pity, acting like nobody cares. I'm going to get with somebody that knows how to worship God in the spirit, that knows how to stir up the oil of joy for mourning, that knows how to put on a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I feel like I'm tapping into something here in the Holy Ghost. Let's lift our hands and pray for a moment. In Jesus' name. Come on, I want to tell you something in the Holy Ghost. If you don't like the direction something is headed or where you're headed, I want you to throw up your hands tonight and say, now God, you see exactly where I'm at in this circumstance, this trial, this relationship confrontation, this place where some old baggage is burdening me down again, slowing my steps, causing me to put my once driving momentum built force into neutral. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. You can be seated. Be seated for a moment. Lift your hands to the Lord and pray for a moment. I'm feeling some things. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Sometimes you get to go in the wrong direction because you didn't pay attention to the signs in the first place. If this aisle were going to Chicago, and this aisle over here were going to New Orleans, and this aisle over here was going to Miami, don't get down this aisle going to, where's this one going, Chicago? Don't get down this aisle and go, wait a minute, I thought I was on my way to Miami. What's the deal here? You didn't pay attention. You missed the signs. And then some folks, when they get into the middle of this, they go, hey, how come you didn't tell me where I was? Tell you, I didn't give you but about 1,400 signs along the way, some of them flashing, some of them telling you now you're about 45 miles from Chicago, and then you're 30 miles from Chicago, and I gave you mile markers all the way along the way. Sometimes you're going the wrong direction because you chose to go the wrong direction. And then you get halfway down the path and you go, wait a minute, what happened to my promise? No, you sacrificed the promise for your own pride, selfish agenda, bitterness. You decided to take the matter in your own hand. I'm going to get vengeance. When the Lord said, vengeance is mine. See, I don't believe in predestination that when you're born, you're already determined to either be damned or lost. But I do believe in this form of predestination. That just as I said, this is a river that flows to Chicago. This is a river that flows to New Orleans. And this is a river that flows to Miami. When you make the choice to get in that river, it's already predestined to go somewhere. Be careful of the direction you take in the beginning. Don't get halfway down the river and find out, oh God, what have I done? Now, emergency here. If you're already halfway down the river and you realize, oh God, I've gone the wrong way. Some folks get out of the river and just build a camp right there and say, forget it. It's too hard to go all the way back. I feel this in the Holy Ghost here. It's just too hard to go all the way back. I'm not going all the way back and starting over. Just forget it. I won't go all the way to destruction and, you know, join the Antichrist allegiance and put 666 and dripping red paint on my forehead. But I'm not going back either. Just going to stay right here. Because some folks are just too tired to struggle. Let me tell you what God does. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth. If you find yourself in the wrong direction, knowing that this is not the other side I want to go to, I don't want to become a cynical skeptic walking around questioning everybody's miracle because I didn't get mine. Repent right where you are. I'll tell you what God will do. He'll build you a mercy lane. And this mercy lane will merge you over onto the path you were supposed to be on in the first place. You cannot find that divine route. It's a secret route. And it's not a shortcut. But it's a route of the divine. God can appoint it by his heavenly will. When you decide to repent and say, God, I messed up. And rather than try to save face and fool everybody like I knew what I was doing all along, I'm just going to admit I messed up. And listen, when you do that, don't worry about all of the judgmental vultures that come swooping in to pick at your flesh. They done make mistakes too. A lot of us are not willing to be open with God because we're too scared of who's watching. We're too scared to get down here and go, oh, I guess I shouldn't have done. But they're watching me. I'm a teacher. I'm a minister. I'm a pillar of the church. I'm a big tithe payer. I'm a business owner. They're watching me. I got influence. I'm the life of the party. All the more reason why for you to set the most righteous example. And that is, hey, all you watching me? Yeah, I was wrong. But watch how I make this right. Be seated for a moment. Can I tell you some of the greatest teaching moments I have with my kids? It's not when I catch them doing something wrong and going, mm-hmm. Let me give you the 15-minute lecture on why you shouldn't have done that. And that's okay. Parents have a right to do that, and we need to do that because they need boundaries and discipline. But they are the moments when I've done something wrong. Maybe I yelled at one of my kids, and they weren't even near the thing that got broken. Harley the dog did it. And I scooped my kids up in my arms, and I said, look, Daddy was wrong, and I'm sorry. When you're willing to get down the middle of the path of your choice and say, no, this, I'm sorry, this was not right. Brother, I hurt you. I said things mean. I'm sorry. I belittled the Christian experience by doing what I did. I've caught myself on the plane at times when I'm real tired and I get a little snappy with somebody. Oh, I can't take it. Then I go overboard. I'm like, I'll get up and clean the plane floor for you. Would you like for me to wax the whole thing on the outside? And I've gone up to the flight attendants before and looked and said, ma'am, I'm sorry. I'm a preacher and I've acted like a jerk. Forgive me. And I, oh, you didn't do anything wrong. And I knew then I was on the right path. You know, just because you think you're the privileged child of God, oh, we have the truth. We walk around, and you know, times we're like, I got the truth. Got a bad attitude, but I got the truth. I know Jesus is the one God, Holy Ghost, tongue talking, hallelujah. I run the aisles 15 times a service. And then cuss your waitress out because she didn't fill your tea up in 5 minutes. I'm sorry. I'm going to the other side. I want to go to the other side. What? How's this storm going to make me react? Where am I going to be when this storm is over? Where is the sinner going to be when tribulation is all said and done? That's why we've got to preach it and live it and walk it and be excited about it more than ever. I appreciate what I feel. First time I preach to you. But walk right in here and people run in the aisles and worshiping. There's an energy in this house. It's faith. There's a residency of a desire for something more than the average in this house. And that's why God has you on a steady incline. And he wants people all over Birmingham and the surrounding areas to watch the path you're on. Because you're doing it right and you're going to the other side. Don't worry about the financial storm. Don't worry about the hindrances of government. Jesus' name. Because I'm going to tell you, when folks start looking at you in their religious indifference and they start finding out that their false doctrine ain't working, they're going to want to merge to the manifestation of the Spirit you've got in your life. They want to get on that path that you're on. In Jesus' name, let's lift our hands to the Lord for a moment. God, I feel you working. I just feel like somebody needs to pray again before I go any further about changing directions. Lord, maybe it has to deal with something emotional, something relational, something physical, something spiritual. It could be a number of things. It could be an accumulation of things. But begin to pray now in the Spirit. God, I've made some bad choices. I've said some things in an insensitive way. I've not been the parent or the husband or the spouse. I haven't been the leader. I haven't been the example. I haven't been the business man that I've needed to be. God, I haven't been the witness that I've needed to be. Help me, Holy Ghost. Praise God. Praise God. Ishayala mayotolo mo shate danamai. You can be seated. I know we could stop any place along this message tonight and just break into a prayer meeting. But when you feel the Lord doing surgery, when you feel like he's cutting on some areas, you don't want him to just get half of it out. And this is part of the reason why I'm excited about being here this weekend, because being the worshipers that you are, I don't have to get up here and try to get you to run and dance and shout, because you do that already. That allows me to go deeper. That allows me to do what God significantly sent me here to do in the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, praise God. Now, back to the boat. Disciples, urgency, storm, waves, wind. This thing is out of control. How many times had the fishermen on this boat discussed haunting storms like this? Those stories that became legends, that became myths, that became far out fantasies and allegories. Sitting around glowing campfires, listening to the snapping and crackling and popping of the wood, while some great grim storyteller spilled out the words, striking fear in every listener. But this was more than just a story now. This was reality. It's hitting home now. What that preacher, what that pastor taught me 6 weeks ago. It's more than just a good point up on a screen. It's more than just a good understanding of the Bible text. It's really hitting home now, because I'm in the storm. I'm the one hearing the tornado sirens going off in my spiritual county, and I'm looking for cover. What am I going to do? What do you think the disciples? The more they tried to keep the ship level, the more they fought the more the sea regaled them. They felt the stinging like needles against the face, the pellets of water striking them. Their eyes red streaked, their faces bloated with fear, their tongues swollen until their speech had gone to such an inarticulate level that they couldn't even understand what one another was saying to each other, because fear's dialogue had taken over for faith's peace. They're just trying to stay alive. Do you ever come to church like that? You're just trying to stay alive. What could they do? Was there any hope? Did they have any dominion over the storm? Duh. You got Jesus on board. It's like the Nokia phone sound went off in their head. I don't think the Son of God is going to sink. I don't think the Creator of the universe can be whipped by a little breeze coming out of hell. Hey, we just need to go stir up the gift that we've already got on the boat. So they go back. They're like a flock of sheep scared by a wolf. They scurry to his bedside, incredulous that he could sleep through such a maelstrom. Shaking him, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" You need to see it, you know. Hands on hips. "What's the deal, Lord? You don't care?" He kind of rolls off the cot, throws his legs over, stands up. He did kind of notice that the boat was a little unsteady. Walks out to the bow of the ship while his hair blows parallel with his face and his robes whip angrily in the wind. He wasn't panicked. He just reached his hand out, narrowed his gaze toward the intentions of the devil, and slammed the door on demonic strategy. All he said was, "Peace, be still." You know what that was like? That's like when you as a parent, you reach over and the kid's acting up and squirming, and you just go, "Hey, shh, shh." He was the father of the elements. He just said, "Hey, hey, you, hey, devil with your big mouth,
Shh, hush it. That's enough. We've heard enough out of you. It was like somebody turned an ethereal vacuum cleaner on. It was... All of a sudden, the sea is placid again. The disciples are standing there dripping with seawater and sweat. They cannot even believe what they're seeing. That's what God wants to do for some of us. Did you see what he just... Did you... What manner of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey him? Did you see what he just, did you see the miracle he just pulled off? Did you see what he did? Can you imagine they were, wow, did you just see what Jesus did? Did you see the miracle? Did you see what he just did? It looked hopeless, but heaven spoke. See, the storm may have wind, but you got the word. And that's what they realized. When their lines of desperation were peaked on the graph of impossibility, they just went and woke up the grace given the peace speaker. And he settled everything. Because what they should have realized from the beginning is that God's command is greater than the storm's control. Don't worry about what hell says. Don't worry about what the response of darkness is. The prerogative of God from the beginning is, hey, we're going to the other side. So when you get in the middle of your problem and the devil starts trying to remind you of all the things you've done wrong and of all the ways that you're mishandling the present situation, just say, you know what, devil, you might want to just shut up right now. And you know, we try not to use the word shut up around our house, but that might be the one good time you can use it. Tell the devil just to shut up. I don't want to listen to anything else you got to say, because Jesus has already been talking to me. And he told me we're going to the other side. And we're going to get this financial, family, faith, healing, whatever it is. We're going to get this breakthrough because we're going to the other side. Let's lift our hands to the Lord and pray in Jesus' name. Do you feel out of balance? Do you feel unsteady? Do you feel like a drunk man intoxicated with too many woes? Do you feel like you're lost in the wilderness of confusion? Do you feel like your compass is broken and you don't know which way to go? Talk to him. Wake up. The gift of faith. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. It's the Jesus on the boat concept. It's already there with you. You just got to remind yourself. You just got to remember. You just got to stir up the power of the Holy Ghost on the inside to say, I know what to do here. Reach out and take somebody by the hand right now. Let's begin to pray. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Go ahead, pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. I feel like Dr. Jesus is working. Let him work. Let him talk to you. Let's spend a few moments right here praying in the Spirit together. If you want to stand, stand. If you want to get out in the aisle, get out in the aisle. If you want to bring somebody down to the front right now, let's release the working of the Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Ghost.
Come on, come on, come on. If you're here and you're hurting, if you're here and you need God, if you're here and you know you're on the wrong path, if you're here and you've made the wrong decisions, tonight's the night to get it right. Tonight's the night to be filled with the Spirit of God, baptized with it, overflowing with it. Overwhelm your enemy with the truth and the power of the gospel. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. In fact, everybody ought to rise up, and you ought to just start finding yourself pushing down toward the front. The Lord's not through ministering yet. We're just changing positions here. In Jesus' name, everybody that will, step forward, come down. And when you get down here, lift your voice. And let's pray in the Holy Ghost. If you want to intercede, intercede. Listen to me for a moment. Look at me for a moment. Listen to me for a moment. What did Jesus say to the wind? What did Jesus say to the wind? Shout it out. Again. Just because he's telling your opposition to be still doesn't mean he's telling you to be still. Some of you have stopped motion, and it's not you that God's trying to stop. It's your enemy. Your opposition is stopped. You've stopped. Don't stop. Go forward. Keep moving. Keep proceeding. In Jesus' name. The enemy of the church is just as victorious when he gets us in neutral. He doesn't have to capsize us. He doesn't have to destroy us or sink us. He just gets us to a place of neutral. But devil, it was you, he said, to stop, not us. We're not stopping. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Let the Holy Ghost minister for a few moments in Jesus' name. Yekori ala bahata ya roboho shahaya. Yeramaranda roboho ratabaha yeshehea. Yeramaya kohomaranda ha, yes, Lord.